Is it going to go with agenda first, please, second?
Yeah.
Usually it goes with agenda, then it comes to all.
It's okay, I'm here, would you like to, for the council, if you can ask? I'm so stressed.
You are?
I tried to get a friendly face.
I know, I was just frozen, I don't see Janet, so just smiling, and I was just zooming on Janet.
We're watching the prompter.
You're ready to go.
Is the monitor not working?
Okay, now you're ready to go.
Good evening. It's Monday, November 5th, and this normally would be our scheduled Recreation and Park Commission meeting. However, this evening we do not have a quorum. We have a quorum. Check that. We just had another commissioner join, which gives us the opportunity to conduct the meeting tonight. So we're going to let her step up to the desk, and we will go ahead and begin the meeting. All right, so I will call to order the Recreation and Park Commission meeting for November 5th. If we can stand for Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you.
Ready? Begin.
I've got roll call. Commissioner Sedaris.
Present.
Chair Hale.
Here.
Commissioner Mahan. Commissioner Crowley.
Present.
And let the record show Commissioners Munoz and Commissioner O'Toole absent.
Great. So I'd like to start off the meeting with any commissioner reports and announcements. Does anyone have anything to share?
Well, the skate park will be open. It just got moved over by the teen center, and it's going to be open tomorrow. And I think there is to be a grand opening, but I think that has yet to be scheduled. So,
thank you.
It's all freshly painted.
It's pardon?
Freshly painted. Looks good.
Great, and I wanted to alert the community to an upcoming event that's going to benefit the Morro Bay Community Foundation, and that's an event called Morro Bay Sings Joni, a tribute to Joni Mitchell. The event will take place next Saturday, November 14th, at the Morro Bay Vets Hall. It's going to music's going to start at 7 p.m., but people can start showing up between 5 and 7. And it's $20 to get in, and there's going to be some homemade soups with salad and bread catered by the galley, and wine and beer for sale also as part of the evening. So it should be a great event. We have some great musicians that are going to be performing Joni Mitchell tunes. So Joni Mitchell fans, come on out. Anybody else to make a difference in building up and allowing us to provide scholarships to children for recreation activities? Any other? Okay, so first up we have a presentation this evening from Robert Davis from the Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee to give us an update on what's going on with our bike trails in the area.
Good evening. My name is Robert Davis, and I chair the Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee. Our mission statement says that we are dedicated to the creation of an efficient, interconnected network of safe, scenic bikeways and community paths in the Morro Bay area. Our charter is that City Council established a reporting relationship between the Citizens Bike Committee and the Recreation and Parks Commission on April 9th, 2001, by directing staff to agendize a quarterly report by the committee to the commission, and the commission to make recommendations to council concerning public pathways. The committee has formed a partnership with Morro Bay Beautiful to pursue the accomplishment of projects that support the mission of the committee. We meet quarterly to discuss current topics related to bikeways and community paths. One of the things that we do on a regular basis is to present an annual list of unmet bike needs to council in the cloisters. A Class 1 multi-use trail from Morro Bay to Cayucas on the west side of Highway 1. Resurfacing the road through Morro Bay State Park from the old campground entrance to South Bay. And in addition, a Class 1 trail through Morro Bay State Park next to Lower Park Road from Main Street all the way around to South Bay. We need a bikeway through the power plant property connecting North Main Street to the Embarcadero. Toro Creek Bridge across Highway 1 north of Morro Bay needs a bike lane on the northbound side. We also support a Class 1 bike trail from Cal Poly to Morro Bay, which is just beginning the scoping stage. We're currently working with Rob Livick to update the city's bicycle transportation plan. We are also working with Mr. Livick to try to deal with a situation at the intersection of Quintana and Main Street. There's a Class 1 bike trail on the west side of Main Street that ends at the driveway across from Quintana Road. Northbound bicycle traffic has a very difficult time connecting to that bike trail. And the tendency is for people to make unsafe movements. And so we're working with Mr. Livick to try to engineer a solution to that problem. So that is the end of my presentation. Do you have any questions?
Are there some projects that are you would see as being active that are really actively being worked at this time? Or,
yes.
I mean, what are the top three exciting developments?
One is Class 2 bike lanes on North Main Street from Atascadero to Yerba Buena.
Wow.
That's an ARRA project, American Reinvestment and Recovery Act, the stimulus bill. That's one of the county's top projects, and Mr. Livick is working on that. The Morro Bay to Cayucas connector is in the EIR stage. That's a county parks project. The alignment has been selected, and a consultant is preparing an environmental impact report for that. And the bike plan, updating the bike plan, is one of our three top projects as well.
And what is the, when you say updating the bike plan, what does that entail? You're talking about just the priorities or actually?
Actually writing a plan. The city adopted a plan in 1997, which did not meet Caltrans standards to qualify as a bikeways plan, making it eligible for state funding. Mm-hmm. However, it has been a good plan and it has served the community well as we have developed Class 1 and Class 2 bikeways throughout the city. In order, though, to be eligible for state and federal funds, we need to have a very specific plan, and that's what Rob is working on. He has an intern working with him to develop that plan. There are some requirements in the government code, very specific requirements, and So he's working to do that. It's a paper mill.
Great. Any?
Well, I just had a question. On Highway 1 at Toro Creek, that bridge is so narrow. Would they have to rebuild that bridge to make it safe for bicycles?
That is one solution. Another solution is to put a specific bridge beside the highway. But, you know, funding's a big problem for either one of those projects. It's a Caltrans responsibility, and they're not going to tackle the bridge until it becomes a safety issue for the bridge itself.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Well, you mentioned several really needed. Is there an alternative? Or?
Wait until the situation changes.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate all the work you've done. It's super needed, and everyone's so excited to get these new lanes on Main Street, especially to be able to bike safely from one side of town to the next. It's really huge.
Yes, thank you.
And I don't know, whatever we can do to help you, let us know.
Thank you. We work... I provide a quarterly report to you as well as to PWAB, and because both of you have different jurisdictions that overlap with the bikeway, so we all work together as a community, and eventually things will happen.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, moving on to our agenda, item A, consent calendar. Is anyone interested to pull for separate action any of the items A1 through A4? Anybody
no.
want? Okay. Then if that's the case, I'd like to first turn it over to Mr. Woods.
Is that?
A4? Sure, let's... Let's pull out A4.
Okay, so we have a request to pull out A4, which is a status report from Rec and Parks Department. So maybe what we can do, since we have a written copy, is I can turn it over to Mr. Woods to give us some of the highlights.
I'd be happy to do that. Thank you, Chair Hale. A4 is a department status report on projects, and I was hoping that the commission would pull this item with any particular projects that they might think of interest to the community. I wanted to give you some insight on what staff was decided to do when we incorporated the Peace Poll and the co-sponsorship. These are two programs or issues that came before you. You made recommendations to council, and staff brought those to council, and I thought to complete the loop, I'd bring it back to you and tell you what happened. The co-sponsorship program, they liked your recommendations. They took the application for co-sponsorship, and they added a few things. On the second page, they added, is the event an annual event, and how many previously? And then later down about midway is do you have a recycling program, and could you describe it? So I thought two very pertinent pieces of information that were thrown in there, and then your recommendations were on the first page as we ordered those. So that is, staff's implemented that, and we'll be looking forward to having that process in place for the next request. The Peace Poll was adopted by council, and so we'll be having the policy calls for a donation agreement with the Friends of the Library. So staff's drafting that up, and I think we're still going to be on schedule. I'm sure we are with the implementation and the putting in of the plaque and also the Peace Poll at the library.
And we can now say who it's dedicated to?
The dedication is to...
I just wanted to make sure we can share that with the public now.
Jude Long. The head librarian, Jude Long. for all her efforts and everything she's done for the library and the community. It's just been tremendous. And there's also, we have got a proclamation honoring her at City Council on the next Monday meeting, which I'm hoping that if she, I know she's home ill, so hopefully she'll be feeling better and be able to attend that. Staff has, through contacting the State Office of Loans and Special Grants and Local Services, has been informed that the state has released the funds for us to start construction on our tennis courts at Del Mar Park, wow, which is extremely good news for all those who have been looking for these tennis courts. I think everybody in the community. So we'll be, our bid package is probably about 97% complete. We'll put the final touches on that, and then we will be sending it out for competitive bids. The timeline I don't have. I want to work with the capital project manager, Dylan Wade, to make sure that we've met all of our obligations as far as the competitive bidding process and make sure everyone's on the same page. So we'll be coming back to you next our next meeting with some timelines. And then right out there at Del Mar, I'll talk about the dog park. It's scheduled to do some construction with the CCCs next Monday. We'll be going out there. Staff has been out there quite a pool study and where we're at, and we did go and meet with all the stakeholders at Bruce Gibson's office in San Luis. It was a very interesting meeting with the county and the district. I represented the city, and we had the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation represented there, as well as the pool at Morro Bay, and also the Los Osos Pool Group. So we had the three pool groups there, and we had all the players, and we hammered out the final criteria for the phone survey. And they're going to put the finishing touches on it, and it'll be routed around for the stamp. But we really got to the crux of what people would be willing to be committed to and what they would not be committed to. So I think we're still on the same track as we described before. We're still in a position to fund the second phase at $15,000, and that was, again, your recommendation to council, and council approved that. So we are on target with that feasibility study, and if it goes no further than phase one, then we'll fall back and regroup. And I appreciate the mentioning of the skate park. Thank you, Commissioner Crowley. We have a soft opening this Saturday. We're very excited. The big things are proper signage. We're going to have signage there. It may not be our final signage, but we'll have signage for opening and letting people know it is an unsupervised skate park. And I think that was key to let the parents know when you drop off your child, it's unsupervised. We'll monitor, we'll open and close it, but when it's open, it is unsupervised. Please.
And is it free, too, as well?
Yes.
Free? Okay.
Unsupervised free. If we were taking in money, we would be supervising
okay.
it. Okay. So basically, we forfeited the revenues that were generated, but we also relieved ourselves from the expenditure, which was $19,900. So I think we're ahead of the game as that particular service goes.
Well, I stopped by there today and checked it out. It looks great. Really does.
Thanks.
Looks brand new.
It is brand new.
Oh, I assumed it was remodeled.
It is identical and brand new.
Okay.
It's not April Fool's Day. All the pieces were under warranty, and SkateWave honored their warranty and replaced
smart.
All the pieces for
very
us.
Smart.
And when they came back to us, we figured we better change the venue here, and that's where it's going to go in the long run. But in the temporary, it's out of the really direct sand, salt water environment,
mm-hmm.
and it's also a little closer to the teens and the high school and the teen center. So it's just part of that whole project, that master plan of the teen center, which we're trying to, just keep little baby steps in the right direction.
Yeah, I think the location is ideal.
Thanks. And I would like to mention one other item on this report. It would be the Teen Advisory Committee. We are... staff has looked at Friends of the Teens. We felt that the Teen Advisory Committee was something we've already had in place, and so we kind of rekindled on that program. And there'll be there's three goals for the Teen Advisory Committee: volunteer service, community awareness and support, and fundraising. And one of the first fundraising events is going to be at the Merchants Fair. They've donated a booth to the teens, and the teens will be selling donated items. They've got a stack of wonderfully colorful beanies that a couple of senior ladies have been knitting furiously, and they've donated all their beanies, and so the teens are selling them. We also have some birdhouse planters that'll be for sale as well. So the teens are going to get out there. They're making a good effort into initiating their community involvement. I think we should go out and encourage them and support them. That concludes A4, your status report. Thank you for giving me the time to explain some of the programs that are going on for your benefit, also those who are at home. I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time if you have them.
Questions? Okay, thank you. So I need to now seek.
We'll want to accept all A1
through A4.
Mm-hmm. Motion to accept A1 through A4 for file.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay, item B is public hearings. Tonight we do not have any public hearings. Moving on to C, I'll close the public hearing period. Moving on to item C, unfinished business. We have none from the last meeting. We'll move on to item D, which is new business, and we'll turn it over to Mr. Woods to give us a summary of the discussion associated with the Dixon's annual spaghetti dinner fundraiser as it relates to 2010 dinner.
Definitely. Thank you, Chair Hale. Good evening, Commissioner. Agendize this particular project because we need to start contributing to the program late November, and right now the foundation is very busy doing the Joni Mitchell tribute fundraiser. They're also putting together a wine dinner at the galley, and there will also be another, I think there's another five-course meal at the galley, I think, earlier in the year of 2010. So the fundraiser spaghetti dinner, I was hoping the Recreation Parks Commissioners would find some time to volunteer to help out at the beginning of this program. And I've got some ideas where we could use the Recreation Parks Commissioners now to get the program off and running. Our objective is to decrease staff time and increase commissioners, foundation volunteers, and senior volunteers the best we can, and still keep them happy. So I included this last year's report on the spaghetti dinner, and here it outlines the summary of the program and obviously the background. Basically, the fundraiser is worth between $2,000 and $3,000traditionally. Last year, we brought in a total revenue of $3,106, and the scholarship fund had a $2,700 contribution, which is a decent contribution for the program, we feel. And it's a great community outreach, and a lot of folks benefit from the spaghetti dinner. So what I have available, and I'll cut to the chase, is we're looking for some volunteers to start off right now to get a hold of we've got two companies that help donate the pasta. And so we would want to hook up with staff. We already have electronic order forms, and we can connect that person to our pasta folks, and then big things go out in getting it and bringing it in to the community center and staging it. And we are also looking for someone to help us with the poster contest. The Kids Club does all the huge poster contests in Kids Club, and then we get hopefully a volunteer could step up and we'll vote for the poster and go through that whole motion. So I'm looking for a couple of commissioners this evening that would want to put their names on a commitment for a part of the pre-program for the spaghetti dinner. The raffle prizes, the door prizes, are all solicited. Marlene Peter, our president of the foundation, has done a tenacious job. She's been terrific. And she has letters that go out to both the the raffles and the door prizes. And she's willing to do that again. She'll put out the letters. She'll solicit the donations. She's looking for someone to help her pick them up. So when people say, I want to donate a gift certificate, then we'd have a runner go out and pick that up. And we're hoping that commissioner or two could volunteer for to be a runner for pickup. So with that, I will conclude by saying, the chair, if you could have the discussion regarding the positions that we talked about and solicit some commitments by commissioners, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Who's going to step up? Anyone have an area of interest?
I will volunteer to be a runner. Sure.
What does you need some coordination around the kids club art contest for the poster, or what are you needing with that?
What staff's intention was to if you were wanting to commit to this, would be to work with Heather and say, hey, we're ready for the poster contest. She would put the word out to kids club. All age groups would be sending stacks of posters for spaghetti dinner, and then there will be some method of selecting one from each grade and one overall, and the overall is the poster winner. And then we make their picture into the poster. And then you'd be responsible for making that happen, and then as we coordinate that with staff and the printers and get the posters done, and then I'll be responsible for distributing those.
Okay, I could take that on.
Okay. And so it's between now and the event. So and we have, obviously, we've done this 20 times. So we have files. We have a lot of resources to benefit anybody who wants to step up. If you're unsure, don't be, because we're there supporting you the whole way.
If I remember correctly, last year, from once the best poster of each grade had been selected, the commission voted for the best of. At a commission meeting, we just... Mm-hmm. Did a blind vote.
That's a good idea.
That was fun.
So we can bring those in. And I'm hoping that we can get a better display of the posters, all of them, and maybe be a little bit more creative. And maybe we run a slideshow on Channel 20. I don't know. We can get a little bit more. The coordination is done by Marlene Peter, and she's the president of the foundation.
Oh, president of the foundation. I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention, I don't know if this is the right form, but I'd be happy to donate a prize. So if she wanted to contact Sam Prince.
I will put your name on the list. Thank you.
You're welcome.
She has a really nice letter that comes out to you and tells you what we're soliciting, what it's all about. And
okay.
So thank you.
Great. Okay. So are we ready to move on then to D2, Rec and Parks Program Evaluation? So we'll turn it back over to Mr. Woods.
Good evening again, Chair Hale and Commission. I knew there would be a lot to discuss, but I've got three reports for you this evening. The first is from Kids Camp 2009, and this is a rather big report, so bigger numbers than our usual smaller programs. And we broke this down a little bit differently for you this evening, too. I hope if you have some questions, please at the end ask them, and I'll try to answer them. The program cost for the kids' camp for 2009 totaled $66,819. Registration revenue, $70,993, and a gross revenue of $4,174. You're looking at a cost recovery of 106%. When we put in support services, it's an estimate amount, and the cost allocation is per child at $175.27. That includes all the work that staff does to get them enrolled, and the non-day of events, the more the support for the program. That allocation comes out to $21,032. You're looking at a net loss when you include the support services of $16,000 and a cost recovery of 81%, which is just above your gold as a merit service category. Your target revenue was 70 to 79%, and this program brought in 81%. There is obviously some summary where they've got they continue to have flexible rates for folks who sign up. Children can sign up as little as one day if they need to, as opposed to a larger package. The online registration has helped us out quite a bit. And what we're seeing is that as we increase the online registration, we're able to reduce our support services and increase your profit margin and your cost recovery. And I think that's a really a good move for us, and hopefully it's a convenient move for folks who are registering online. And there are some more facts about the background of this particular project, and I know if you had some questions, I'd be happy to answer them at this time. Go ahead, okay. Please, Commissioner Crowley.
Okay, I was just, I have a suggestion, actually. The uniforms is a pretty big cost there, and both sons of mine have participated in kids' camp over the years, and we're getting quite a big collection of T-shirts. So I was thinking, can't we just reuse, instead of buying new T-shirts every year, can't we just reuse them and save cost there?
I can certainly present that as an option, and maybe instead of just building it into the registration fee, you have an option of checking that box, and maybe you just, if you check, well, I already have one, and then you reduce that much more. We'll see how that works out operationally, but certainly with a strong recommendation. Thank you.
Okay. Can take it a step further and have people that have graduated from Kids Camp donate. I have about 8 blue shirts in my drawers.
I do too.
And, you know, let people recycle. I mean, just recycle them, right? They probably go to the Goodwill or other. So not to create effort for staff, but
the recycle program is something that I like. I like the idea, and I've seen it at other like private schools. Those, hey, there's uniforms, and then today's uniform day, and everyone brings them in, and then you either swap them or you buy them for a buck or whatever it is. Little League's done the same thing. Opening day, they'll bring boxes of throw your jerseys or whatever, baseball pants, and then people, if you need them, you pick them up. Some kind of a program that relates to something like that, whether it's a drop-in, a donation, and then it's available for folks who need it. And then we can knock it off their registration. Maybe that's a little bit more of along the lines of scholarships, and it certainly would help people out instead of having to buy a shirt each time. So let us discuss it at the staff level, and hopefully we can make a.
Another quick question. I found with parents who have more than one child. Typically, if you have one child in a program, the second one is often able to participate pretty easily, even if they're a little younger. I was wondering if there's a way maybe we could offer the program.
Be very taxing on the program, but I can't say with certainty. So I certainly want to discuss it with staff.
Could we bring in additional staff? I mean, if we use the revenue from the extra kinders, would it be possible to bring on additional staff to cover the kinder? An extra kinder class?
That would have to be spelled out in staff's proposal on this particular program. If they're going to change and add that to this program, then I would say I'd like to see it prior to, and they would have the job to penciling out how that's going to work operationally. And she may want to discuss it with her staff and saying how they split up on summer camp trips and who's left behind. Do the kinders go with their older sibling to the fair or a field trip,
right.
Or are they left behind? And how is that relationship going to work? So I think operationally we can dig and root around the topics and see if it's going to work. We can come back to you with, yeah, it's going to work or it's not going to work.
Okay. Just a thought.
Okay. So that concludes Kids Camp 2009. If there's any other questions, I would be happy to move on to the Oktoberfest tournament. Okay, Oktoberfest tournament 2009. Basically, our department puts on 3 softball tournaments. We have the Summer Slam for the girls' softball. We have Labor Day, and we also have Oktoberfest. And this is a city-run program. Tournaments are, by definition, an enterprise program, and our revenue target is 100%. Given that, your program cost. There's a list of all the things. They include ASA sanction fees and also ASA team fees. And the reason why those are important, and I will just answer the question, we're eligible for the, I believe this is a player medical fund. but it may not be on tournaments, but there's to be sanctioned here, the ASA, and that's what brings folks in. So $2,518 was our total program expense. Support costs, we've got a cost allocation per team of $20, and that's a total of $300 in support. We do have an indirect cost. Remember, we've always done direct and indirect, and given that we have our different cost recovery service programs, you've heard enterprise and you've heard merit categories, the indirect is the cost put into the facilities, the utilities that keep the facility running. And the light fund, we take $15 from each team and put it into the light fund in case we need to do some light renovations later, and we have used that. Total expenses for the program, $3,043. Total revenues for the program, $3,050. We have a cost recovery of 100% net gain, $7. And I chuckle at the $7 gain. I encourage staff that the gain is much more greater when we look at our contributions to the TOT and the sales tax and the folks we bring into town. So my hat's off to the efforts that the staff had for the Oktoberfest. It's always nice to come into the black. A few program recommendations staff has included would be to adjust the price accordingly to other tournaments in the area. And when I questioned staff, I said, you're looking at an increase? And most likely some were dancing around probably 10%, so maybe a $30 or $40 increase, somewhere around there. The T-shirts sold very poorly this year, even when the design for the award T-shirt changed, so they're not going to be ordering event T-shirts for 2010. We are going to continue with the award plaque, the picture plaque for first and second place, and just first place if we only have six teams in the categories. We're trimming it down a little bit and trying to save a little bit of money, but yet have the program successful and people want to come to it. And the big thing is to continue partnering with the Chamber of Commerce regarding our softball package deals, and it seemed to work really well this last go-around. And having restaurants and hotelers put up discounts prior to the whole season. We locked these in last January, and hopefully we'll lock them in December, January this year and submit these all to all the program tournament directors, and they can get them out to their teams so we can get folks participating in more of our hotels than usual. That concludes my report on the Oktoberfest softball tournament. I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Looks good.
Seeing none, I'll move on to the 2009 Morro Bay Junior Lifeguards program evaluation. And this will be the last evaluation of the evening. The Junior Lifeguard program took on some additional expenses this year. I won't get into the details of what the program is. I think everyone's familiar with the Junior Lifeguard program. It includes the pool program, and this year it's basically essential to the program. If you don't have the academy, you don't have an accredited lifeguards or instructors, you don't have a program. So it's really essential, and having our department work so well with the harbor department and the county, this is going to continue the next year. Program costs for this year were $41,270. Support costs, which is cost allocations for the beach and the pool, come out to $3,114. Total expenses for the program, $44,384. Revenues for the program were $35,686 for fees and sweatshirts. And the Junior Lifeguard program brought in $644. Total revenues, $36,330.75. Net loss, $8,053. Cost recovery, 82%. Your target goal for a private service, target revenue is 80 to 100%, which is the program cost plus the support cost. And we have met our revenue goals at 82%. So just into that 80 to 100% range, and obviously staff is looking to work on fine-tuning our expenses and increasing our revenues. The recommendations we presented for the program for the next year would be to continue to seek cash or in-kind donations, recruit a little earlier and provide training to ensure staff meets the USLA standards, and that's part of how we start the academy. So we will have some folks that will do some training beforehand, some training swims and runs, so they're basically in condition, so when they go into the academy, we're looking at a higher rate of success, which is very important. Mm-hmm. Continue to work with the Harbor Department to develop the in-service training calendar and ensure all that our USLA training standards are met. And they're very rigorous, and you've got to make sure every I is dotted and the T's are crossed. Continue to evolve safety, public safety in the community and community services into the program. We have police, fire, state parks, SLO ambulance, verges, all come in and are part of the program. Little snippets of safety and things like that all contribute to our success. Mm-hmm. Include the community service project related to the beach environment. This was the community service project was like a beach cleanup, and that was a big thing that was advertised through the junior guards, and they got really involved in the whole beach cleanup program. And there's quite a few. I would say probably 30 sponsors through that community awareness of beach cleanup. And then revamp the manual is what we want to do for the age and skill appropriate information. And sometimes it gets outdated, and just every once in a while you got to go, hey, let's clean this up a little bit. So staff took on a lot last year getting into the academy and running and starting the academy. So this is a little bit of a fallback and going to clean up the manual for the participants. That concludes my staff report on the Junior Lifeguard Program. I'd be happy to answer any questions, as well as entertain a motion that would accept D2 for file.
Questions? No. Make a motion to accept D2 for file. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None.
Okay, moving on to item E, declaration of future agenda items. Does anyone have agenda items you would like to see on a future meeting? I wanted to see when we might bring back the topic of showers down at the Rock. We can get that teed up in the next meeting or two.
Can I get a little bit of clarification, Commissioner Chair Hale?
Sure.
The showers at the Rock, we have a rinse-off area now. And are you looking for a coin-off shower?
We were talking about a coin from our meeting, I think, two sessions ago. We had asked about a coin-operated hot, that's the key word, hot shower down at the pier or at the Rock, those showers, because we know anyone who's been in the ocean knows.
Well, there are no showers there now.
Rinse stations. I don't want to get stuck with the technicality. I think that the goal is to understand what the feasibility is for someone to rinse themselves off with hot water at the near the restrooms.
I didn't mean to be so technical, but I've been kind of grinded in that way with this project, and every time I said showers, I was got my hand slapped because the building codes are totally different, and when you start calling it a shower, there's a lot of different regulations that come along with it. So if you want a hot rinse off or a warm rinse,
perfect.
That's something that we can go for. That gives me a little bit more. I can come back with some solid numbers for you.
Great.
No problem. The Vets Hall sometime early January. Once we get through with our annual renovations, we look at specific project at city buildings, and then shortly after that, we would go into waterfront. A public restroom restoration, which will be somewhere in March-ish before the summer season hits. If that timeline sounds like it's doable, then that we can bring something back maybe in February for you to look at some of our efforts. And these are the locations. This is what we're deciding to do at those locations.
So yeah, that sounds great. Was that including the hot water?
If you'd like the hot water a separate issue, I can bring that back sooner.
Yes, that'd be great.
Okay.
Any other? Okay. All right. Well, with that, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn our meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Yeah, they're coming up with more indestructible bathroom fixtures and stuff.
So,